Welcome to another exciting episode of the Business of Digital podcast, featuring your hosts, Matt Siltala and Dave Rohr. Hey guys, good to be with you. How's it going, Dave?
It is going, sir. It is another day, another podcast, another episode.
See what we do for you guys. You know what? This one's going to be an interesting one to talk about. Like, you know, you were just sharing with me a lot of information about just kind of just how things go. And as far as like the day-to-day busyness and, you know, the feast or famine. And it's really just a topic that I kind of wanted to get into and help people understand. But I guess the official thing that we're going to call this is personal time management and the ability to say no. And this is something that I've had
or lack thereof.
Or lack thereof, yeah, very, very, very true. It was just interesting talking with you and hearing about like all the stuff that had going on. And there's so many factors, you know, like a lot of times we want to just put all the blame on ourselves and like, I didn't get that done, or this is my problem, or that's my fault, or whatever. And the reality is, in a lot of these situations, like with what you were sharing with me, the reason that you didn't get half of what you wanted done, what you were talking about earlier, was because of someone else, because you were waiting on something else. And so I think we have to learn to take all that in. But I guess the real thing that I wanted to jump into, and I'll just kind of give you a little bit of a background about myself and how I started to get into the trap of not, you know, not being able to say no, was, well, you know, when I first started getting into this industry, I mean, I think my very first client was $300 a month. And you know, I was very grateful for it. And, you know, I was doing other things, obviously, working in corporate America, but I just started taking on little projects here and there because I was doing my own thing. And, you know, people started asking me, hey, how, you know, how's this going? And how are you learning this? And again, this was, you know, early 2000s. And so, you know, I would just take on a project here or there. And then I'd get, you know, I'd do some really good work for this guy. And he's like, hey, my buddy just started this site, or so-and-so just started the site, and I told them about you, and they want to work for you as well, or they want you to, or they want to hire you as well. And so, okay, you know, take that on, and depending on the project, you know, I didn't, you know, my projects at that time were anywhere between, you know, $300 to $750 a month. I mean, if I got a $2,500 a month client, I thought I was big time. but most of them were, you know, in the hundreds. And but I got into this pattern of, you know, like I would, someone would come and say, hey, you know, this is the project that I need, or this is what I'm needing from you. And in many cases, there would be, you know, it'd be a project that I wasn't really sure of, or it would be a specific task that I didn't know exactly how to do. And I would always say yes, because, you know, I didn't want to leave that money on the table. And then I would figure it out. I would spend time figuring out, okay, this is the things that they needed from me. You know, I'm gonna go and learn how to do this. And then this is where, you know, the networking comes in, and this is where, you know, meeting with people online. And luckily, this is about the time that social networking was starting to come out, and I was connecting with a lot of people and could ask questions and things like that. But what this did to me, though, over the years is, you know, fast forward, you know, 5-7 years, and whereas I was able to take these little projects on, and it was fine, I got to the point where it was just too much, and I found myself, like, always working. I was constantly working, whether, you know, we were going out for dinner or we're eating, and I'm like always checking something, or I can't do this, or I had to miss that, or, you know, I'm on the soccer field watching the kids, you know, quote unquote watching them, but have the phone and looking at it and working on something, answering emails, and taking a phone call because someone's crazy about something. And, you know, we get into these bad habits. And, you know, I would have friends that would call them and be like, hey, they just really want to work with you. And I knew that I had no bandwidth, and I knew that I couldn't do it, but I just didn't want to let that friend down. And so, you know, I would never say no. And then, you know, it just was reaching that point of no return. And I finally recognized it in my health. You know, I started you know, the anxiety started kicking in, and just the effects from not sleeping well. And so I just finally had to take a hard look at it all and realize, like, hey, this isn't good for me. This isn't good for my health. This is not something that I need. I just, you know, I'm going to have to learn. I'm going to have to teach myself how to say no. Okay. And there's lots of different ways that you can go about that without just being like rude and just like, no, I'm not going to help you out. You know, I started talking with some buddies, and hey, are these the type of projects that you take on? So like, I have people that are always coming to me that are looking for this, this, and this. And normally I'd say yes to everything, but I just can't take it, or I just can't do it. And so, you know, do you want to take this on? And a lot of times it'd be like, yeah, refer it over and I'll even kick you back something. And so again, you know, just learning that skill right there, Dave, learning how to be able to say no, learning how to be able to delegate, learning how to know when to say when, I think is huge. And so I guess that's where like the majority of this is coming from. And again, so like it gets back to just personal time management and just figuring out what it is that I can, you know, feel comfortable with. And so, and again, all this was before, you know, this was when I was doing all this solo, and this was before I started bringing on the partners and before we formed. And I don't know if anybody remembers this, but before we were Avalanche Media, we were Dream Systems Media. And then I guess got to the point where, you know, we grew from there. Like I would refer what I could, and then I had partners come on, and then, you know, this is, and that takes on a whole nother, side of this. But, again, just learning to say no and just, you know, figuring out the craft of being able to say no. And I don't know if there's anything that you do, Dave, that is specific to being able to say no or to help better with time management. I mean, I'll leave it open for you to share a few thoughts.
Well, you're talking about from an agency side, but I think a lot of what you just said would also be usable for anyone that even runs a business themselves. You know, whether it's a new client of any sort coming in, but then I think it also could be used the same way for someone that works in-house. So whether you're on the social side, the paid side, the SEO side, a developer, you know, or even in an agency and you don't run things and you have, you know, five different bosses, and someone wants you to give an internal presentation. Someone wants you to go and, you know, go create this pitch for this new client. Someone else wants you to jump on this call on 3 o'clock on another client that's not yours, but so-and-so is sick. And then you have your own deliverables to do. Yeah. Or if you're in-house, you know, the CFO walks over and asks you a question. Your boss walks over. Someone from another department walks over. The developers tell you about, you know, some thing that they're pushing live to the site tomorrow, you know, less than 24-hour notice. And you know, can you take a look at it, because they only have a couple hours left of Q&A and they think they found something that might impact your world, but they're not sure. But you still have these other 8 things to do today. Sometimes I don't think you have a chance to say no, whether, yeah, you know, you have 9 to 5 or, you know, or 8 to 4 or whatever it is. And you've got 8 different people asking you for 12 different things.
Well, then I think it's important for people to understand then that this is where, like, you know, the term burnout can come into play, and making it where people are not very fond of the industry that they're in anymore. And I'm glad that you kind of brought some of that stuff up, Dave, because it got me thinking about, there's 3 individuals that reached out to me this week, 3 of them. And it's no coincidence. It's just, I don't know what's, it's just the way that the nature of the beast right now.
Post holidays.
It could be, it very well could be, but they all
same reason have, I'm behind holidays.
True. The same thing though, they've talked about just how absolutely miserable they are right now, and it all comes back to them not being able to say no. And the people that they're doing stuff for are you know, demanding too much and not knowing, you know, where they're at. Not, and again, I'm not saying anything bad about the person that's given the assignments, but, you know, I think we have to do a better job of letting them know, hey, you gave this task to me, but here's the reason that it's going to be difficult. I'll do this for you this time, but I don't think I can do it again. And these are the reasons why, because this is going to take me this long, but you normally give me this many hours for this type of a project, but this is going to take me this long, and it's going to push this project, and that project back a little bit more. And so, again, I think if you do a little bit better of a job of being open, because a lot of times, you know what, why are we afraid to say no? Because we don't want them to think that we can't do something. We don't want them to stop giving us projects. You know, we have that fear of, you know, it's just anyone in this industry, whether you're, you know, again, going back to your feast or famine comment, Dave, about client work and stuff. We're always, you know, we always fear that we're not going to have enough, or and then a lot of times it's that way. Sometimes, you know, we're like, I really wish some of these contracts would close. But then other times we have more than we can deal with. And so it's just trying to find that balance. But again, coming back to like these individuals that have reached out to me, they're all like beyond burnout and telling me something has to change, and it's affecting their family life. It's affecting their health. In fact, one of them I knew went to a hospital because of exhaustion, anxiety. And so it's just one of those things. Again, we have to be thinking of ourselves a little bit more. You know, we have to be self-conscious of that kind of stuff.
I'm trying to find the episode number where we talked about we've talked about like managing and trying to get projects done, but I know we talked about just managing expectations a little bit. Mm-hmm. Episode 73, we talked about mental health stuff last year. I think it was last year, but I'm trying to find the one where we did the other stuff. I don't want to repeat it all, but
yeah, if we find it, we'll drop it in the link.
Yeah, I'll drop it in. I'll dig around as we're just talking about it. But we also talked about like what makes good leadership, episode 61. I think part of it is, and I've talked about this, and I know, like I said, we've talked about it at some point, and I've talked about it in talks when I talk about in-house marketing, but use GetHarvest, use FreshBooks, use whatever system you have to track your time. Even if you're, you know, and if you oversee a number of headcount or of people internally or agency or whatever it is, have them, if you're not, have them track their time for each project, for each deliverable, for each request, and keep track of it so that going forward, when person X from team Y comes over and asks for something, you can then go, okay, they already have these priorities. What's going to get pushed? Go talk to so-and-so and tell them that you need their time. Can their thing be pushed back 3 days?
Yeah.
And if they say no, too bad. It goes to the end of the line. You know, not everything can be an emergency.
Well, and
even though it usually is.
Well, and I'm glad that you said that, because that's the part where we need to do a better job as humans, as individuals, letting people know that, hey, you can't push me around to do this. Like,
you have to have management that'll back you up on it, though, too.
Yeah, and it's true. But the thing is, it's just, there's going to be this cycle of rinse and repeat with people coming in and out in that type of position, in that type of environment. And maybe some places don't care. That's, you know, what they're wanting, and they're just trying to squeeze all that they can out of it. But I don't think that builds lasting relationships with good employees that are actually going to do really good work and turn the needle for you, so to speak.
Well, and I, when I was in-house at the last gig, I was being asked to do like 50 different things. Like most, like a lot of the times when I talk at in-house,
jack of all trades.
What's that? Yeah. And I asked the question, I'm like, who here does analytics, SEO, social media, and you know, like keep your hand raised when you do more than 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or all of those things. And the number of people that will put their hands up is quite high.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're stretched across basically, you know, in some cases, 4 different total jobs where they're the only person, there is no backup. If they're sick a day, then really nothing gets done. So they can't say no because everything is on them.
Yeah.
But I told them, you know, I've used this example before, but I once was being asked by my boss why I wasn't spending time on SEO. And I went into the details of all of the other things that I, you know, here's my meetings this week. Here's what I'm doing. Yeah. I literally used a FreshBooks, GetHarvest, you know, Paymo app, whatever you want to use to track my time for a week.
Yeah.
It was like a week or two. And then I went back to him and I said, here's what I worked on the last 2 weeks. And it was like, wow, you haven't worked more than 2 hours in whatever it was in all that time on what your real job is supposed to be. I'm like, no, I'm too busy doing all this other stuff. And that's how I got budget. And we figured out resources for extra developers, extra writers, like to figure out how to, you know, based on where we thought we needed to be spending time, but I couldn't get to, what was the best way? What could I offload to other people or agencies in that case?
I love that you shared it that way, though, because that's exactly the advice that I gave these three individuals this week. I'm like, have you documented?
You have to document it.
Take your week, document it. And at the very least, when they come to you next week and you're burned out and you're about ready to die, you know, you have something to go to them with. You have something to show them, and it's solid. And hopefully, you know, they'll understand that and have the good scenario, like with, you know, with your case, so to speak.
Well, it's also prioritization. So if you're working with a client that, you know, every week or every meeting, if you have a weekly meeting or a monthly meeting or whatever it is, every time there's a meeting, they change the prioritization of something.
Yeah,
the one thing I miss in my day-to-day right now is I miss Gina, Rachel, and Amy, my former project managers I had when I worked at a larger agency. I loved them because if there was ever scope creep, if there ever was a change in prioritization, it had to go through them. And it was like, okay, well, here's this deliverable we were working on. We will stop on it. But then now we can't deliver it until next Thursday instead of today, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Is that okay? No. Okay. Well, then what's going to happen? You know, what are we going to do?
So I guess, you know, just my final thoughts on this and trying to help people understand, like, it's okay to say no. Like, I learned that it's okay to say no, but also have that data to back up why you're saying no. And, you know, also have other solutions. You know, like a lot of times when I would defer projects or I wouldn't accept something from a friend, not wanting to make them mad, but I would have solutions for them and say, okay, well, I can't do it, but here's solution A, B, or C.
Or I can't start on it for weeks,
exactly.
Number of weeks.
Well, that's a perfect idea. Like, look, I'll be happy to work on this project, but my first availability is going to be 3 months from now. And so then it's them saying, well, I don't want to wait that long. And it's them saying no. And it's not so much pressure on you. And again, just for your health, for your mental health, for your physical health, you have to learn to say no, because you will reach a burnout point. You will reach that point of no return. And when it hits you hard. So anyway, those are just some of my final thoughts. Dave?
Well, that's what, and Casey Marquis, who we've had on before, that's what he does. He's got like literally a waiting list of people that want audits, because he has looked at his time and he's factored in travel, family, and everything else probably, and you know, just life. And it's like, I am booked for time until this month or these number of weeks. And here's the list and your number, whatever. And of course, it's just like, you know, if you're waiting in line for at a restaurant, if the wait is really long, people will probably leave.
Yeah.
And your time will be moved up. But, you know, to save his sanity, that's what he does. And I think you just have to, if your boss or bosses have your back, if you're not management, that's helpful. If you are management, look at ways to help protect your team from other teams. You know, abusing their access or their time. One of the best things I think an in-house marketing team can do, if they do have product and they have their own agendas and they've got different groups within the company that keep asking for their time and their resources, is to regroup, sit down, regroup, and come out operating like an agency, where your time is billable, your time is finite, and you only can work on so many projects, so many deliverables, and figure out a way to prioritize it. And if things come to, you know, three people want something, you escalate it to your boss and hopefully, or your boss's boss, and they sit down with those three groups and go, okay, you all want them to do something. We don't have any more, you know, headcount. They don't have any more resources. What are your time frames? What can we move and what we can't, and let them fight about it, and not everyone kill themselves.
Perfect. Perfect advice.
Yeah.
Well,
making lemonade out of lemon is really.
Well, and we have a lot of years combined experience here, and so kind of know what's worked in the past and what hasn't, and so. All right, guys.
But if your bosses don't have your back, then none of that works.
True. All right. Well, thank you, Dave. I do appreciate it, and thank you guys for listening. As a reminder, you can subscribe to us everywhere: iTunes, Spotify, Google Play. We love reviews. Why don't you go ahead and head over to Google Play if you love this podcast, and give us a rating and write us a little review. And so, as always, thank you guys for that. For Dave Rohr with Northside Metrics, I'm Matt Siltala with Avalanche Media, and we'll see you on the next one, guys. Bye.
Thanks.